joined. Has joined.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
So we will begin. We are studying from the Sulam commentary on the Zohar, Parashat Vayera, Pasuk 256. We'll start with the Shem Yehud. The Shem Yehud,
has joined.
Liata, Lashem, Yudhe Bavate, the Yehuda, Shalim, Bashem, of Israel, Limun Torah Mitzvah, La Sok Torah Mitzvah. Vaino Amadunaya Lahindu Alena Masaya Dan Kanane Alena Masaya Dan Kananehu. Wahashem Im Tir Al Sodom Da Darga Deve Dina Vata Ta Dina Tel Rishu Me Ela Rabbi Yitzhak Amar Diave Dina. May be peace. May Hashem mean Hashemayim. Begin Ishtaha Dina Barachame. The Itema, my Rachame. Akadikiv, Vayehi Beshahet. Elohim et Are Hakikar. Vayizkor Elohim et Avraham v'gomer uvatar nafku mineya ireno min shelemin zaka danavik mineya David ushlomo malka. The translation. The phrase "Ben Hashem reigned upon Sodom" refers to the level of the earthly courthouse, which is granted permission from above.
Has joined.
Rabbi Yitzhak said that the judgment was executed with mercy, as it is written, from Hashem out of heaven, where the name Yud-Heh-Vav-Heh implies mercy. This is so that judgment will be mixed with mercy. You might ask, what mercy is there here? He replies, as it is written, and it came to pass when Elohim destroyed the cities of the plain, that Elohim remembered Abraham. And after this, two whole nations issued from Lot, and he had the honor of being the great ancestor of David and King Solomon. My commentary. With Rabbi Ashlag's comments, the verse is clear as written. Elsewhere, the Torah teaches that no man receives the effect of another person's actions. Thus, why do the actions of King David and King Solomon reflect on Lot? Commentary by Bracha. This verse is recognizing Hashem's greatness as mankind's sole judge and executor. It is He who is fully in charge on mankind's progress. And when the heavenly courts above are called in to assess the seriousness of on the matter at hand, as in the case of the city of Sodom, Hashem steps in. He personally directs His angels, each with their individual instructions to fulfill, besides having them attend to Abraham's needs on their way to Sodom. Hashem's beneficence toward His fellow servants on this earthly plane is rendered in kindness and respectful regard, even when He listens to Father Abraham's concerns, as Abraham steps forward to address Him on this matter of accounting, decided for fulfillment. In this intern between Hashem and Father Abraham, Abraham is blessed with two additional nations, Ammon and Moab, added to his future lineage. Hashem's kingship is active and alive today, even when we as His human soul children have forgotten this heavenly awareness consciously. During this transition in our end of days cleansing, this fear and awe of Hashem's presence will return with full consciousness for all of mankind. There will be no questioning who is our rightful king. All will know and behave accordingly as the respectful servants and children on whom we are truly in our soul awareness when we wake up. Questions, comments, thoughts?
I think it illustrates how Hashem can take chaos and somehow turn it into good.
Vivian
has joined.
Hashem does turn chaos into good, but it's because from Hashem's perspective, there is no chaos. The effect of the human's actions require a cleansing of those actions. So from Hashem's perspective, that cleansing is good. From the human being's perspective, the cleansing is not understandable because we don't see the cause. The cause was last lifetime. We don't remember it. The cause was last week. We don't remember it. We don't understand how that's the cause of this chaos today. So from our perspective, it looks like it's chaos. It looks like it's because we don't truly understand the concept of cleansing, because we don't see the end result. We don't see the final result. When you're in the middle of the process, you cannot see the beginning. You might remember parts of the beginning, but when you think of it in terms of lifetimes, you're in the middle of your lifetime. You don't see the beginning because that beginning was in a previous lifetime. And we don't see the end because the end is the manifestation of Mashiach. And we can contemplate it. We can imagine it. We can be told what it is by the sages who have been shown that vision. But we don't really know.
But don't you think we do get some glimpses?
some people get glimpses. But what? Where does the source of the glimpse? Are you sure the source is Hashem? Or maybe it's the Hurrah?
Just during this time of evacuation, we moved to three different motels, trying to get closer, you know, to Lake Charles, so that when we'd be able to come in, we would be able to see the damage for ourselves if there was damage and be able to work. And every time we moved, I felt like I was in the desert and moving from spot to spot, just as the journeys, you know, were. And I felt like every time we would leave at 1 o'clock and we were worn out, it was so hot here, over 100 degrees, and we'd be very hungry. And of course, kosher food wasn't around, and you know how I am about kosher food. And the only place that we were with other people, so we had to be respectful of them, the only place we could stop was at Dairy Queen before we'd head back to Winnie. And so it was fish sandwich, which was Alaskan Pollock. No, it wasn't a kosher place, but at least it was kosher style, let me put it that way. And so
I'm familiar with that kind of sandwich, so yes.
Okay, so every day for 6 days, I had a fish sandwich. And it made me think of the children in the desert having to eat manna every day and complaining. And I think the next morning, oh, I hope I don't have to eat another fish sandwich. But then by the time evening would come, I was happy to get that fish sandwich. So I figured that those three stops, the three different hotels that we moved from, and each one of them, there were really encounters with people that I considered, it was like I was out in the field with Hashem. And I was being able to put to use the tools of Kabbalah with the people that I met. So I really felt like it was a spiritual thing. But with the fish sandwiches every day, I began to sense that perhaps I was one of those that complained about the manna. And that was why I was having to eat fish sandwiches every day for 6 days. Then also in each hotel, the first one, there was no bars in the bathroom, so I could not take a shower because I'd lose my balance. And each one got a little better until I got to the one that was handicapped. And of course, there were bars all over the place, and it was really nice. But in that, in those episodes, what I could sense was that how the women in the Holocaust in the camps, how they had to endure just personal cleanliness and just, you know, what they had to endure, the heat and all that. And so it was really a spiritual journey for me.
Yeah.
And I felt like it was Tikkun as well, especially the eating the sandwiches, that really did it. I said, I bet I was one that complained about the manna.
Baruch Hashem, I appreciate what you're saying, and I don't mean to offend because I agree with you. What you said is probably a good spiritual perception of what you've experienced and what your thoughts were. But let's expand it to the outer area, to the larger perception.
Okay.
The hurricane came to cleanse. You evacuated as was recommended. But now you moved closer two different times, or three different times, if I understand.
Right.
Every time you moved, it was a desire to receive for oneself alone. Because if you had stayed in the original location, you wouldn't have met the people that you met along the way. But you also would have had additional time to do Torah study instead of driving. And perhaps you did some Torah study while you're driving, because I know you. But the point I'm trying to get across to you is the cleansing is followed by what do I want? And then the human being goes and tries to manifest what that desire is.
But that wasn't exactly the way it was. The way it was is we were with my daughter and son-in-law, and my son-in-law was in control, and he was the one who needed to get closer because he was in charge of an oil, I don't know what you call it, his job.
An oil.
He needed to get there, so the moves were not my choice. The moves were his choices. And,
evacuation was made. You could have evacuated in separate locations.
No, we couldn't.
I'm asking you to listen to me once right now.
Well, I wish you'd let me explain.
What you're doing is justifying. You're giving me an explanation that makes sense. Except it's a human explanation. Explanation. From God's perspective, did you not have choice? You can't make that statement. Because from God's perspective, every human being always has choice. I'm not criticizing the decisions that were made. I'm trying to give you a different perspective.
But you're giving a prescription of something, of somebody else. Tony could not drive. So my son-in-law, and I can't drive because of my eye and because of the braces. And so my son-in-law drove our vehicle and my daughter drove theirs. What I had to learn was we had not seen our family since March. So for me, it was being with my family, spending time with them, because that's part of Aquarius's cocoon. And we had no control over who was to drive and all that, because Tony couldn't. And so I had to sit back and not be able to make any kind of decisions, because I'm usually the one who makes the decisions. I mean, it's a little bit different than the perspective that you see. And I'm not trying to, give you an explanation, or I don't remember what word you just used a while ago. The hardest thing for me was to be quiet and to let them make the decisions. I had to sit during the day and watch movies all day. But it didn't keep me from studying, and it didn't keep me from, while I was sitting in the back seat. I had my phone and I had my iPad. So it was more allowing, just letting someone else make the decisions and having to live with it, whether I liked it or not.
And I'm glad you're safe. And I'm glad that people are recovering, and it won't be, hopefully, it won't be difficult with this new hurricane. But the indication you have another hurricane coming into the, not necessarily Lake Charles, but into the other areas of the same area of the Gulf. It's an indication of that the cleansing is still continuing.
And Hashem has been giving us prayer, insight. Let me put it that way. Insight.
Yes, I agree. That's what the visions are. That's what your perceptions are. That's what the thoughts are. They're insights, but you do not see the complete picture. That's what this verse is talking about. That we see from human perception, we may see judgment. But there's always mercy involved with that judgment. But we find it difficult to see the mercy. And when we do see the mercy, thank God we see the mercy, we don't recognize the full extent of the judgment. That's what the verse is trying to get across to us, in my opinion.
Well, over the years, I've seen the correlation between when we honor Israel's borders, our borders honor us, and there's a definite link between the hurricanes and individuals, states, representatives, and how they react to Israel. And I've seen that from the years of, I'm going to call it hurricane study.
I haven't studied it as much, but you're absolutely correct.
Mm-hmm.
Because nothing happens in the world that is not sourced in the land of Israel. The way the world views the land of Israel, the way the Jewish people interact with each other, this is the cause of everything that happens in the physical world. We discussed it the last couple of verses, which I don't think you've had time to listen to yet. I may be wrong.
But well, I've listened to two of them, and I've read them all myself, but I'm sure I missed something, you know, which I'll eventually catch up.
I know. So, mm-hmm. But it is what I think the Zohar is trying to get across to us is that the mixture of mercy and judgment is always taking place. But as human beings, we cannot perceive that mixture because we perceive things one way or the other, black or white. It's very difficult for us to see gray, to see the mixture, and be able to perceive through the veil of the mixture. Because spiritually, there is never a mixture. And I'm not sure I'm being clear in what I'm saying, but it's clear to me in my mind, so I apologize if it's not clear.
Hello, is it okay if I ask?
Of course.
What I understand when it comes to mercy on a human level, Hanok, especially with Connor sharing her personal experiences in these last couple of weeks that she has encountered, even myself with my own, what I've discovered on a human aspect, when you begin to look at how Hashem uses mercy and judgment together, using the storms and also basically understanding it's potentially extended from the land of Israel, I find that the moment we feel very humble before our Creator during this process, even when we have to, face being uncomfortable, being deprived of what is naturally our comfort zone, and for that moment, you know, Hashem puts us out of our comfort zone, I've discovered that when I feel, just for that tinge of moment, a deep humbleness, and so grateful that my life was spared, that there wasn't great damage to my home, you know, that I received help at unusual places from people that I did not expect. I find that moment of knowing what it means to say, thank you, Hashem, for helping me through this as I'm interacting with the needs of those around me and knowing I'm not alone. What makes the story of Sodom, you know, that's represented in this process that we're talking about, the people lived at that time, they had no charity in their heart, Hanok. That was the reason why Hashem had to step in, send his angels to find out what was really going on. And, of course, it was compounded by more immorality, you know, breaking all the moral laws you could think of, as well as a disrespect for life, period, and not having a heart for another. what I find that our end times is showing is that Sodom was pretty bad off, even though, you know, thousands of years ago it was considered to be on a higher spiritual level than we are at this time. But the beauty of it is that today the whole world is being affected. It's just not one group of people. And all of us are being asked to reflect deeply. Where do we stand in acknowledging that something is going on besides our individual, you know, issues, our individual life goals or whatever, but we know it's more than that. And it's even more than our connection with fellow man. And it just seems like, you know, Hashem is saying to us, children, I love you. Please wake up. Let's correct some things here. Let's relook and understand that the spiritual aspect is so important. But again, since we are mirrors to each other, Hanok, as human beings, Hashem only sees our degree of love for each other by those reflective mirrors of how we not only take care of our families and our friends, but even having a smile and a kind word to a stranger who is down and out or whatever, at the same time we found ourselves out of our comfort zone. That's how I see this aspect of mercy. It's focusing on a character trait of humility, which is considered the most highest level of character refinement that we individually and collectively are to be striving for, even at this very time. That's how I was looking at this process, listening to Hannah's experiences and appreciating that she shared her individual struggles, because, yes, we only can see it from a human level, even though we recognize we are souls of light as we are striving to maintain the balance in our yetzers that really create problems for us. But due to our individual prayers, even if we don't have a prayer book in front of us and we just say, thank you, Father, or Father, please help me to understand, or if we can remember a verse of Torah, one word that can just let us hold on while we're going through the roller coaster, so hopefully that we land at a place, but still arriving with thanksgiving. And that's what I love about Father Abraham and Isaac and all of them, when they remind us that when they got to a place of safety, what do? They built an altar unto Hashem to say thank you. Maybe this is what's going on to help us understand the spiritual value of what is valued of being spiritually minded, not religiously minded, but spiritually. That's my thoughts. Anyway, sorry.
Thank you both for sharing. Does anybody else have any comments? Because we're running out of time.
Well, I will say this. We were expected. It was said that we were going to have 12 to 15 feet storm surge. And Hashem showed us what to pray, what to do. And guess what? We didn't have it. Marco dissipated, and there was no storm surge with Laura. Now, we had other damages, but we did not have storm surge. If we had had storm surge, the whole area would have been It's already pretty bad, but it would have even been worse. And it did not rain in my house, and I had very little damage. And believe me, like Braca said, I go from room to room, and I keep looking up, and every time I do, I'm saying thank you. And then we've been able to help other people as well, you know, and even people that we met. One lady was really ugly to me at first. And she could barely walk. And then, I don't know, after just a brief time with her, by the end, she was in a completely different attitude. She had lost two homes. So I saw it, like I told you, the king was in the field, but I was in the field with the king, but not to receive from the king, but to be there as a helping hand to the king.
Baruch Hashem.
even my food in the freezer got eaten by people who needed the food who had stayed. The food that I had prepared all the way for Sukkot. It was kind of an experience. And even this one, all day today, while I'm chopping vegetables, and the words that I got for this storm, and it didn't hit New Orleans after all. Now, what I'm disappointed is that I didn't have the merit to see the other states get missed as well, which means a lot more work, a lot more cleansing.
Baruch Hashem. Everyone have a beautiful evening.
Okay, thank you.
Our next class will be the completion of the Zohar on Rosh Hashanah that we started Motzi Shabbat. So hopefully you'll join us. And tomorrow morning we will have Slichot at 7 o'clock West Coast time. And we have the 3 additional classes after that as well. So shalom gadol to everyone.
Shalom gadol. Hi.
Shalom.
I don't know. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, did you hear me? I forgot your name. But I sent you an email, Vivian, because I received your email.
My name is Hanoch.
Yeah, what?
My name is Hanoch.
Hanoch. Okay, see, I forgot. I think I talked to you 2 years ago or some,
yes.
Or by email. I don't remember. I received your email.
Yes, and I responded to you. Did you receive my reply?
No. That's why I was thinking, I don't know what to do, because I know that I remember you are in the West Coast. And I didn't know how many hours there's different.
I'm on the East Coast, but my phone number looks like it's from the West Coast.
Oh, you are in the East, but the classes, for example, I have to figure to be connected. I say, I don't know how many hours they're different, so I will try. Try 2 hours before and say I will try now. So we are, you know, East Coast, so it's almost, I think, 8 o'clock or so. Yeah, 8 o'clock something.
Right.
So, and the classes are 4:30 West Coast. So
yes.
Anyway, the story is, I just wanted to know because, I don't know, I want to do the annulment of the vows, and I have the books of the Kabbalah Center for many years ago for Rosh Hashanah. So, and I was thinking, I don't know what I'm going to do. Last year, I went to Boca Raton Synagogue because I used to go every day on Elul very early, you know, doing my prayer with the Minyan. But, you know, now, I don't know, you know, I know there are some minyans, men, and mostly men, and some of them. So, and if I go to Chabad, I don't know if they do that. So, and I have to go to work.
To answer your question, Chabad does do the vows, but you need to check with the local Chabad whether they're doing it virtually or whether they're doing it physically if you come to them. We are going to do it Friday morning, but we're doing
at
it
what time?
10 a.m. is when our Eastern Slichot starts. Please let me finish.
Yeah.
10 a.m. is when our Slichot will start, Eastern time. It takes about an hour to do our Slichot. And then we will do the Nedarim, we'll annul the vows. So it's more like about 11 o'clock. And you said you had to go to work. So what you need to have is 3 people, so anywhere in the world that's on the phone and connected to you. And you can do that. So
that's the problem.
I can be one of them for whatever time you need. But this community comes together at 10 a.m. Eastern time for the sleepover.
And if I call from work, if I connect, I will take my break at the time. Okay, I need to know by sure at what time, so I will go to an area, I will take my break or whatever, and I will connect to this number, but I know to know exactly the time and if there will be someone else, some other 2 men, right? So yeah, I will listen.
There will be two additional people. This community accepts people, not necessarily men. And if that's a problem for you, and I appreciate that.
I don't know. I remember it has to be 3 witnesses. That's all. So
yes.
I used to go to the shul. So
we will have 3 witnesses, approximately 11, maybe 11:05 Friday morning. And we will annul the vows.
So I have to listen and then
you have to listen and participate. There are works for you. If you are able to, there will be people doing this. There will be 3 people that is the court. And then there will be the people who are coming to annul the vows. And those people, if they read Hebrew, will participate. If they can't, they will listen to the other people but be scanning your matzor.
Yeah, have the matzor in English and Hebrew. I will read in English because for me it's easier.
Yes, so you'll be able to have the annuls vowed. The vows annulled, excuse me. You'll be able to do it with our community on Friday morning, approximately 11 o'clock.
So I have to call 11 o'clock, take my break, and I will listen. Do I have to say amen at the end or by, I don't know.
When we go through it, you'll have the instructions.
Oh, okay.
It's all in the book. It's all in the Maxor. I
have the Maxor from the Kabbalah Center, the Rosh Hashanah. I know at the end I have to say.
Come on in. I'm going to have to stop because I have somebody just came in. But
okay.
The instructions we will follow are the same as what's in the Kabbalah Center.
Okay. Okay, I try to do it.
You have a good
evening. Thank you, Hannah. Thank you.
Bye-bye.